Apparently, he likes to black out and sing Counting Crows, so...
Welcome to Behind the Sins, presented by CinemaSins.
Welcome to Behind the Sins, a weekly look at everything going on inside the world of CinemaSins. I'm Aaron Dicer, and I'm joined, as always, by Jonathan Watkins.
Hello, hello.
And Danae Hughes.
No ventilation in this room.
We write for CinemaSins and TV Sins and do various other things inside the CinemaSins universe as well. Danae, do you need oxygen? Do you need a mask?
Yeah. Yeah, I gotta figure out how to get some ventilation up in this closet. I'm trying to figure out what hole I'm gonna make a hole in. No, wait, what wall I'm gonna make a hole in. Wow, listen, it's been a long morning already.
So even with the door open, it's still like just hot?
Well, I like to try to close it for the sound, but yeah, right now I have it open just so I can breathe.
Gotcha.
Well, breathing's good. Breathing is always
is.
A good thing.
Fair I've heard enough. Really good things about it.
Breathing is a political decision. I don't know if you knew that, but it's been made very clear. Whether you choose to breathe or not is apparently a political decision.
I felt like after I made my little jokey tweet, I had to point that out. Like, they're grown-ass people. They can do whatever they want to do. I just thought that was weird that they called public safety a political issue.
And,
we
you know,
don't be political.
But here's the thing, unfortunately.
Are we doing this on the show?
Yeah,
are we doing this?
Oh, yeah. Okay. This show's all going to be about COVID and politics, and that's just what we're doing on Behind the Sins this week.
You came here to have fun, and now
and we
it
said
sucks.
No. We said
well, this is
no
about
fun
theaters,
this week.
Though, which does kind of factor into something.
Yeah, it that's does. True. Yeah, it
yeah,
does. Unfortunately, it's crazy the things that have become political decisions, and it is unfortunate. And no, we are not going to go there for the rest of this episode. We're going to go into our usual shenanigans and kick it off with the Sinside Scoop.
What's he building in there?
We're going to take a look at the videos from the week, the process of sinning them, how we felt about the stuff we were sinning. We start off in TV Sins World with Parks and Recreation. We did the pilot. It was a Dicer Watkins script. Jonathan and I wrote on this. What's your Parks and Recreation experience, my friends? Big fans of the show?
Yeah.
I've never seen it.
Oh, have you never seen it? Take a drink. Take a drink. I'm already drunk. I've seen every episode. I was a big fan of it when it came on. Like we talk about in the video, though, I did not really like the first season. The good thing is, though, the first season's only like 6 episodes.
Right.
And literally the second season premiere is one of the best episodes of the series.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the I'm Ron fucking Swanson episode.
Okay.
I love that. And all the characters just kind of become more of who they end up being, I guess.
I think that's true. I think the turning point is season 3 for me.
That's definitely probably the best season.
I think it says something about me that I stuck with the show for 2 full seasons that I didn't think was that great because it made me laugh occasionally, which is that as long as you can deliver a laugh every once in a while, I'm pretty much on board. I like shows where I can just relax and smile and laugh, and Parks and Rec did that even for the first 2 seasons, even though it wasn't great. And man, going back through it with a fine-tooth comb, that pilot is rough.
That whole first season is rough. But like I said, it's only like 6 episodes. It's kind of like The Office first season.
Yeah.
But is the third season, is that when Adam Scott and Rob Lowe not come till the third season?
I think so.
They come towards the end of the second. I never can remember because it's been a while since I've watched it all the way through. But
I can't say for sure. They definitely add
a lot to the show.
Yeah, I can't say for sure, but I think it was season 3 that they come
you're
in.
Right.
So, yeah. Danae, as you watch the video, having never seen the show, does it look like it probably doesn't look like a show based on the Sins video that you ever want to watch. What are some of your general thoughts on, I think I'll never watch that show?
Well, there's a sin that I'm going to reference, and it can maybe even just be the transition into the Sins that we enjoyed, since I don't have a lot to say about
the show.
It.
Yeah, transition us.
But it was like pointing out that this is a show that tries to make boring things funny, but achieves the opposite. That's kind of my vibe watching it. Was you guys pointed out so many things that would bother me, I think, like that the lead person wouldn't even realize that it's not something that she said, or like the nervousness of talking to a camera really changes things. But the cast is intriguing to me, like the actors and actresses.
Yeah. And when they start gelling, it just becomes, and there are exceptions. I'm with Aaron on Aziz Ansari.
I just never
assuming
liked
that was
character.
Your actual opinion. Yeah, no, I never liked him either, even throughout the entire show. I mean, there were funny things about him, and I did like that we got like his friends and stuff, because it's not Middleditch, it's the other guy that's in that comedy.
Schwartz.
Yeah, we get Ben Schwartz. Is that his name?
Mm-hmm, I believe right? So, yeah.
Yeah, we get him because of Tom God, I'm just, my mind is absolutely blanking, but it doesn't matter. But yeah, I agree with you on Tom. But like Ron and obviously Amy Poehler is great.
Right. The cast looked interesting to me, and that would be something that maybe I would give it a watch. I guess my question to you guys would be, if I was going to ever watch this, should I just start at season two and skip over season one? Like, am I really missing anything?
I don't know that you're missing anything, but like I said, season one's so quick.
Uh-huh.
I would just say start at the beginning.
I think you're missing the occasional laugh, and it's only occasional. Like, the show doesn't find its footing.
And there is some continuity that carries over. Sure. Because that park still kind of carries over.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Later on.
Yeah.
But like I said, it's been so long. I can't remember all that was mentioned in season, you know, all that happened mm-hmm. in season one.
Right.
And this was a spinoff of The Office, technically, right?
Was it? I don't think that.
No, because
she, the same actress is in both shows as different characters. What's her name? The main girl who Chris Pratt was boyfriend and.
Rashida Jones?
Yeah, Rashida Jones is in The Office as one of Jim's love interests, and it's a totally different character.
It's just a similar... Yeah, you're right. It's sort of a spinoff is what people call it. It's just a similar type.
I think it's a spiritual spinoff. Yeah, you know, it's another mockumentary, so yeah.
Because I do think... I will say, me personally, although I haven't watched The Office all the way through, but I've seen a lot of Office episodes. For me personally, I prefer Parks and Rec over The Office.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm with you there. Long term.
Yeah.
Long term.
Yes, yeah.
So, Danae, what did you think about the video? What did you think about the Sins and Such?
I love the Sins and Such. I did like the part, like, technically he's not drunk. Like, at the beginning when she's trying to get the guy out of the slide or mm-hmm. whatever. Just, like, yeah. Technically he's not drunk. He's sleeping in the slide. Kids, you know. I really love the delivery of it's jarring. It doesn't work and it's jarring. And it also didn't work. Just that back. Kind of keeping that running was a fun thing to listen to. And then apparently... Our new narrator for TV Sins, I don't know if you guys know him, his name is Aaron. Apparently, he likes to black out and sing Counting Crows, so...
Yeah, thanks, Jonathan.
That was... There's actually... That was a funny story in the note process where Chris had kind of forgotten that Aaron was taking over that completely and was like, you know, I don't, if Jeremy doesn't know this song, I don't, you know, it doesn't, it might not sound as good. And because I put something in there, like, if you don't know this, here's the link. And then Aaron's like, put me in, coach, or give me a try, coach.
Right.
And then Chris is like, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, all right, it's funny because in my mind, I hope that I can kind of put a little pin in and maybe I can bring this back around.
Maybe. Yeah,
in another script.
That's one of my all-time favorite songs. So when he said Sullivan Street, I was just like, I got to put something in there. Did you know that song?
Never heard it in my life.
I
know. I
would think you'd be a Counting Crows fan.
I probably
would
be.
Did you listen to the whole song or did you just listen to what you had to sing?
I just listened to what I had to sing and then I did one take, which is the take that made it in, where I just imitated what I had just heard. Yeah. And then
you did it perfect.
Then I did a take where I listened to it in my headphones while I sang it. To like really get the exact pitch and all that right. And it sounded awful on playback. It was so bad.
To be fair, I don't know if anyone can sing like him.
Yeah, it was like, it's that thing where you don't, when you're listening on headphones, you think you're perfectly in pitch because you're hearing the person perfectly in pitch instead of yourself. And you don't realize how bad you're singing. And I was like, please, please use the first one. I know that the tempo is a little different, but please. Yeah,
no,
it
sounded perfect. It's exactly how I envisioned it
Good.
In my mind.
Good.
No, I didn't even think about that, Danae. Yeah, we just got to keep coming up with random Counting Crows songs.
Yeah, like just random lyrics.
I'm a huge
that
Counting Crows fan. So.
It would be kind of fun to, you know, maybe like, I don't know, just do like a fun little callback.
Well, if you want to go more in the narrator's wheelhouse, you should go with like old school CCM, like DC Talk or Newsboys.
No, that is not happening.
Well, aren't you? What's the one?
I made Jeremy do DC Talk. So you did. It's happened.
You did. It's funny because I'm thinking, like, since you're blackout drunk, what if the screen went black and it was just the Counting Crows song singing, and then it comes back?
No, what's the one you like? Smallfoot, Switchfoot.
Smallfoot.
Smallfoot.
Yes, the movie Smallfoot. The soundtrack to the
Switchback,
movie Smallfoot.
Switchback. Smallfoot.
Littlefoot from that dinosaur movie.
Yes, exactly. What about you, Jonathan? What do you want to bring up?
We already kind of talked about Aziz Ansari, but have I mentioned how much I hate Thompson? Was really funny. And Speedy. Oh yeah. Well, I mean, and Danae talked about that one too. The it's jarring and doesn't work. But the other part of that was funny was you said Speedy Speedo joke. and that was a really weird, just why is she talking to this guy? And
it had to be a scene that got cut out and they just wanted to use part of it in the intro.
And you did a really, I agreed with you completely, and I didn't think about it when I was writing the script, but just how different the Leslie Knope character is in this episode versus later on. Like, she's pretty much just, she's basically just dumb.
Yeah, they made her really dumb.
And she's actually a very smart person later on. She's just has, you know, she sees the glass half full.
Right. Right.
All the time. But she's actually a very intelligent woman. She's a hardworking woman and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But in this, I didn't get that. So I think you were dead on with that. We both wrote Bobby Knightson's.
Of course we did.
Which was kind of funny. But you were right. You were right in the sense that it made perfect sense that Ron would idolize Bobby Knight.
I know people that idolize Bobby Knight. I have family in Indiana. In fact, my mom was born in Bloomington. So, yeah, the Bobby Knight thing is real. So, yeah.
Man, it's just, I don't know. I'm not going to.
It was a different time.
I mean, he's obviously a very good basketball coach.
It was a different time.
It was definitely a different time.
Yeah.
You guys
hit on pretty much everything I had, other than we did introduce the world to the word NID as a reverse ding. And I thought that was worth mentioning at least because people in the comments.
I thought you had wrote something incorrectly.
That's right.
I was like, what is this supposed to say? And then he explained it. And I was like, oh, cool.
So, yeah, people have been using that in our fan comments and Discord and that kind of stuff for a long time. But I don't think we've ever publicly called it a NID. So, I thought that was fun to kind of squeeze that in there. Let's move on to the spiritual sister of Parks and Rec, The Office.
Why are we doing so many documentaries?
Because people love them. People like them.
Could you tell this was an old video, everybody?
I don't know. What do you think?
It has a different intro.
Everything Wrong With was different.
Yeah, the intro is different. Yeah,
but, remind me, is this one where I was like rage quitting on you?
Oh, you were rage quitting The Office as soon as we assigned it to you. Like, you were... Very quickly.
I really don't like the show.
So there is something.
You just like yell at your husband a lot because he likes it. It's just like, what's wrong with you?
There is an element. We just had this conversation with another show that's coming up that Danae and I wrote on that she had kind of the same reaction to, which is a lot of these modern shows, the characters are such idiots or jerks or, you know, whatever, because that's the part that the show is emphasizing, whether it be for laughs or to give them character growth down the line, whatever the case may be, that Danae just doesn't put up with it. She just like, this is not a person I would ever want to hang out with. And so,
like in real life, I would just not be around these people.
In real life, these people don't exist.
It gives me that anxious feeling. It's like I'm trapped in this show and I'm supposed to find things to sin about it. And I could send everything about this show, but it's not funny. It's me actually having a crisis.
That's a good point. That's why I've never really gotten too much into the show, because it literally makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Which is interesting, because even as a person that has an insane amount of anxiety, you can produce a world where that is the main drive and it can be effective. And we're going to talk about that in a movie this week that we did a Sins video for. But in The Office, it just doesn't work. I don't find it funny.
I don't either.
I do think it gets better. This is a first season episode. I do agree that it gets better after this, but it's never gotten to where I'm like fully on board. This is a really popular episode, right, Aaron?
This is one of the most popular episodes. And I guess
this is the Dundees.
It does. Yeah, this is one of those where I think it kind of falls on me to be the Office fan, which is interesting because I'm not like an uber Office fan, but I do like the show. I do enjoy watching it. I think it's, again, it makes me laugh. And this show makes me laugh more than most shows. I do think there's some really funny stuff in here. What?
It was very talented people in them.
Did you find your email that you sent me about this or something?
I found one back in October. I get this email from you after you had done the combine for this one. You said, okay, here's the notes on this one. And I write, Jesus, this is a lot of notes. Just cut any that are mine because honestly, I can't figure out how to make anything work. Also, Office is horrible and it will continue to be a bitch to sin. And I think we should switch directions ASAP.
What I remember about this, because we used to do where like either Aaron, if whichever one of us wasn't working on it, we would shadow it before one of the guys shadowed
right.
it.
Right. Yep.
Yes.
Okay. So this is one of the last ones where we did that. And this was, I hadn't really written much with Danae at this point, I don't think, or at least not something that was dealing with this kind of subject matter. Cause I mean, I was being like very technical, like there was some sin, it was something about, it was the one where, I don't remember what the original sin was, but I just said something, there was something about it that like, I was like, well, they did actually say this. So I'm not sure this is a sin. I just remember, I felt like Danae was yelling at me through email because she was just like, yes, but it's a drunk girl. They left her on the floor. I think we should put something in there. And I was
you should.
Good. You should do whatever you would like to do.
You should read all of my notes with that inflection.
Yes, yes. Just because she's not using caps, she is yelling.
But I mean, to the point where it made me feel like I was an asshole and like I hated women or something. Because I was no, that's not what I meant.
There is something to me as a person. I've always been very confident to just deliver what I have to say without too much apology and too much like inflection shift. I just sort of just say shit real directly and it makes people really uncomfortable.
I will tell you, I prefer that though, because I hate having to try to figure out what people mean about things.
Super
so
me
I prefer
too.
Correctness. But what was interesting about that to me was I think that's when I started learning the way you watch things.
Yeah.
And how invested you get like in a particular thing going on.
Yeah.
And how yes. it can just drive you crazy. So that was really fascinating.
So
I
learned this about halfway through Danae's tenure as a co-host on the pop culture podcast, Sif Pop, where
yeah.
she started to get furious that she had to watch movies she didn't like. Like it was one of those things where it was just like, why am I wasting my time sitting here for the rest of this piece of trash so that I can tell other people it's a piece of trash? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it was.
I hear you.
And so, no, there really is something inside her that just hates having to sit through something she thinks is awful.
You know,
that's totally fair.
If we're going to continue on this like deep psychological look into Danae,
yes,
I want to say that this bleeds out into so many other parts of my life, and it is an inability of mine to wait. I don't like that patience shit. You know?
No, you and my wife, if you lived in the same town, would be best friends, I'm pretty sure. Or you would hate each other. It could go either way. I really don't know.
So it's something that like, I don't know, it's hard for me because I do this fight or flight thing and I've done it with people too. So like there's a dark side to this part of me too, where like, man, if something ain't feeling right, I'm okay with just cutting it and going, you know, like peace, have a great life. I don't need to be here kind of a feel. And that's not always a proper thing. So doing this job has been really, really interesting for me. And there are shows that have that same vibe. For sure, Office is one of them at the super top of the list, if not the top of the list, that I literally loathe. If I'm assigned an Office script, it is like dread filled experience. And so I just maybe had to work at figuring out how to work through that. But it's just a little insight into me.
Yeah. You know, it's just it's one of those things when you get one of those scripts from Danae, it's like, OK, there's real hate here. Like, like the audience may be uncomfortable with the amount of spite here. You know, let's fun it up a little. Let's, you know, put a punchline here. You know, that kind of thing.
And this was really for sure. It. Like, this is so long ago now, too, that I really hadn't figured out how to turn it into fun. And I still have trouble with that sometimes. But in fact, I did this on a script that I was on with Aaron that we just wrapped, where one of the things that I said was reworded. And I just asked, like, I don't mind that it's reworded, but why did you do that? And then you kind of explained to me that, you know, there are like spiteful things that you can say, but then if you say it like this, it kind of is a little bit funnier and less insulting. And I'm like, oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the things we try not to be mean. I know, and people are going to think that's silly because a lot of people think we're mean, and that's mm-hmm. why they don't like us. But that is like one thing we do in the note process, especially. Is this too mean? Or you know, because we don't want to just like say you suck.
Well,
as a person,
and if you like this thing that we hate, you suck. You know, that's how it can feel.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you want to make sure it's fun. Like even if you're obviously saying, even if it's obvious that you're being honest, because you know half the sins we do are just jokes, like they're not really mm-hmm. problems of the show or movie or whatever, but you know the ones where you can tell, oh, I think they mean that, it still has to feel like I'm welcome here, and that's why the fun is so important, because if you love something that we genuinely don't like, we still want you to feel welcome and appreciate it.
Yeah, but just know if you like The Office, Danae is judging you.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say, because the sin that you cut was like, if you like this, just unfriend me right now, like unsubscribe. That's the one that you cut. No,
we don't want to tell people unsubscribe.
I didn't actually do that. Actually, we do tell someone to unsubscribe. Isn't it in an upcoming video? We say unsubscribe.
I thought that's what you were talking about. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, shit. I don't like The Office. Let's move on.
Yes, we can move on to The Sins. Why don't you start us off, Jonathan? What did you think about The Sins in this video?
Yeah, it was really interesting because, I mean, I remember, like I said, like I reviewed the script. It's possible I added stuff, but I'm like, Danae, I don't remember at this point. But the America's Easiest Insults Run on Duncan, I remembered that one really well. I thought that was hilarious. I liked the multiple CinemaSins critics.
Yeah, that was fun. That was good.
And that was another way I knew it was an older video, because we don't say CinemaSins and TV Sins videos anymore.
That's right.
We kind of stopped doing that because, you know, this is TV Sins. This isn't CinemaSins. It was really funny early on, though. There would be so many where Aaron and I wouldn't catch it till the editing phase, where it was like, oh, shit, we wrote he'd be great at CinemaSins instead of he'd be great at TV Sins.
Yeah.
Because we were so used to writing that.
Yeah.
And then Crapapile Dundee, I thought was great. And then was this the first Free the Nipple, since this is farther back? Was this the first time we did that?
I have it in my notes. I said it's crazy that there's two Free the Nipple jokes written by two different writers 6 months apart that ended up posting within a week of each other. Like, that's insane.
If we did it before this, I don't remember it. I feel like that was the first one. And then just everything you guys talked about, like just the sins about just the idea that like he's doing that just insanely racist impression. And
man,
even the year this came out, like I'm still just kind of shocked.
You know, it's interesting. There was a sketch show, I think, on Netflix where they cut an episode because there was blackface from a character that was, mm-hmm. you know, obviously an awful character. And that was kind of the point of the sketch, but it didn't matter because it was blackface, and that's, you just don't do it.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is yellowface. I mean, it is. What he is doing here is yellowface. Yeah. And that
this is like Mickey Rooney in Breakfast at Tiffany's,
right,
like 40 years earlier.
And I get that the writers and creators and you know, they get that this is an awful thing in the show, right? But we've kind of transitioned to where there's an understanding that even when your character knows or the characters around them know, that there is an impact on culture to laugh at it, even if it's laughing at how awkward it is. So we've mm-hmm. kind of changed culturally kind of a view on that. But it is, wow. I mean, when I watched that, I was just like, I cannot believe this made to air. In fact, I think we even talked about it in The Sin how we didn't even feel comfortable showing it in the video. Like, mm-hmm. you know, so.
Yeah, yeah, I really liked how we handled that particular part.
Well, and the show itself is obviously trying to make you uncomfortable. I mean, that's kind of the point of the show.
Right.
But even still, like, even at that time, I mean, I know Steve Carell's a younger actor at the time and he's trying to make it. But, I mean, I can't even imagine he would do that now. You know, he'd be like, no, I'm not fucking doing that.
Right. Yeah. No.
It's hard to watch.
And there was a lot of stuff in there about how they treated Pam, like, you know, the making fun of the fact that she had been engaged. And mm-hmm. then when she does get drunk and how they're more concerned with Dwight. And I mean, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of weird stuff like that. Like, I think it was good that we pointed all that out and send it.
Yeah. Danae, what do you got?
Actually, I did notice that on both the first one and this one, we point out the whole documentary thing where the audio is super clear on the other side, even though a door is shut or something. Just the idea that there's a microphone in those rooms or like a boom mic that's hanging out. And these are written so far apart, and yet that's like a prevalent thing.
Yeah, it's in the Parks and Rec video too, and it's it's through the comments too. In fact, I have that for my keeping tabs to talk about microphones on mockumentaries.
Oh, cool.
But yeah, it is. It's again funny how these videos written so far apart,
so far ago.
Well,
and
I actually did
so
write.
Far ago?
I actually did write both of those things because it's something I always notice in these mockumentaries is how ridiculous it is that they get pristine sound out of every situation. Mm-hmm. It's interesting because, again, they flip-flopped. The Office was actually written first. And so in the Parks and Rec video, I think the sin says something about once again, you know, this
right.
follows the – and it's like, oh, yeah, that one that I wrote 6 months ago still hasn't aired and it's airing, you know, later this week.
Oops.
Anyways, so that's going to happen sometimes.
Did you write the one, though, where it was like where Pam was complaining about watching the videos? And you were basically like, shut the fuck up, Pam.
Yes. Yeah, I also –
this is your difficult job?
Yeah. That's pretty much it that I have for the office today.
I wanted to you're welcome to the Aaron pats himself on the back for a pun portion of the episode, which happens occasionally. But Jim Earl Pam Spittle was one of my favorites that I've ever come up for a soap opera for Jim and Pam. The other ones were fun too, but that one made me laugh for whatever reason. And then Danae, I wanted to give you a shout out for doing the office outtakes in this video, where you just did a bunch of different outtakes.
Yeah,
from the same
really
show and just one after another. So
that was hard to do.
Yeah, I really like that. And the comments blew up about that too. They love that. So yeah,
cool.
Good stuff.
Yeah, that was
so we have,
that
we
was
have,
a lot of
on
fun.
The same episode, we have that. And then we have the Adam Sandler movie where all the outtakes are basically other Adam Sandler characters.
Yes. Yes, exactly. All right, let's move on to music video sins, and despite what the title says, it is actually Rick Astley, Never Gonna Give You Up. And of course we Rickrolled people, and that was a lot of fun.
Here's what Baird had to say. He says, I don't have a lot of time to write, but I do want to say I think it was very mature for Taylor Swift, Kanye West to come together for a worthy cause like We Are Earth. I am told that Beyonce, Billie Eilish, they helped to broker the peace, but no one else was in the room where it happened. So that's all he has to say about this one. To make this video happen, it took a lot of star power and love, you know, just
nice.
Putting down differences to come together for the making of this video.
Nice little Hamilton reference at the end there by Barrett. Hamilton is 2 weeks away and I can't think about anything else. It's going to be able to stream in like 2 weeks. I'm so excited. I'm sorry. I'm a bit distracted now because there was a Hamilton reference.
That's okay. Welcome to my world.
What about this song? Do you remember when it turned from a popular song to a meme? Like this is mm-hmm. like almost the birth of memes in
I
a lot
even,
of ways.
Was it late aughts maybe?
Yeah, somewhere in there. I'm sure somebody's done the history of the Rickroll.
Yeah.
At
my wife
point.
Did it to me right around when that was going on, but I mean it's been a while. I mean I don't remember when that was, but
says November 6th, 2008.
Was the first Rickroll in recorded history?
Hey, late aughts.
I don't know. I don't know.
The best thing would be an article that when you click on the link to the article just plays the video instead of actually telling you when it started.
Oh, wouldn't that be fantastic?
But it's just so funny to me. Like I don't know how it started, but it's just so funny to me that was the song and that was the artist and
the video. Bait and switch trick grew popular on 4chan. In 2007, it was started in 2006, but it started growing popularity in 2007 as an April Fool's Day prank.
Yeah. No, it makes a lot of sense. It actually comes from a pretty honest place in that the voice doesn't match the face. That's the big thing and people experience that from the very birth of this video. I remember seeing this video when it came out and I was like, that's crazy. That's the guy that sings Never Gonna Give You Up. And so that idea of not what you're expecting makes total sense with what it ended up, you know, turning into as far as the meme and the April Fool's joke and all that kind of thing. So,
and this song was huge it was everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, you, oh God, it was crazy. I mean, I remember it very well.
In 2008 is when the growth really started. A survey done in April of 2008 estimated that 18 million American adults had been Rickrolled. You know, when we did the video, How I Met Your Mother, and the joke was like, this needs to be the new Rick Roll for the Go to the Mall song. Jonathan, did you know that Aaron then Rick Rolled me with
No, it was on Twitter. Yeah, I saw it. He was like, didn't he say like, hey, this person that you're a huge fan of said something to you. What did something like that?
So brutal, because I have never been, my heart started racing. I was like, what just happened? I think, Aaron, who did you say?
That's the irony.
Added me on Twitter.
The irony is, I think I said that D&D podcast that you love, that eventually someone did message you on Twitter from. Like, I think that was the irony, was the Rickroll I did eventually came true.
But you did ask for that.
You did. I did. You literally asked us to do that.
I super did, but then I forgot immediately that I'd asked for that. So I click on the link and I'm going to YouTube and I'm like, wait, what's happening right now? Because you cleverly hid the direction of the link.
Uh-huh.
So, but
I had to walk a few miles to make that work, because
to cover it up.
Basically I used our old YouTube account, and then I changed the title and description to match what I told you, and I uploaded just the section of the song or whatever. So yeah, I really went to great lengths to make sure, because you can't Rickroll these days without hiding it, because Twitter will show you the video that you're sending people to. And so you have to have it disguised.
You have to title it and everything.
Yeah.
Which you did. And I genuinely thought that some of my greatest D&D heroes were talking about me, which, being the center of the universe, is super important to me.
Yes, of course, because you're human. Yes.
But you know, obviously that's inspired from the original Rick Rolling, and it is interesting. Like, there's the Wikipedia page about Rick Rolling is really, really in depth. Because Rick Rolling, I think it peaked also because the group Anonymous, I'm scanning this information, so this could be inaccurate, but I think the group Anonymous, you know, like the hacker group Anonymous, they Rick Rolled the Church of Scientology, because at the time they were trying to like push their agenda. And so in an interview, like early on, Astley said that he found the Rickrolling of Scientology to be really hilarious. And that he said he didn't want to capitalize on this phenomenon. And of course that was, you know, over 10 years ago now, and it's still happening.
Well, that's why some of the comments are so funny. Like, my favorite one, I think, and I apologize if I'm stealing from your comment section, but one of my favorite ones was like, I got Rickrolled in the year 2020 AMA.
Yes. I love that one.
I mean, it was perfect. So perfect. Barrett just said, I mean, I'm doing this video. I think we've got to Rickroll people.
Of course. Like, yeah, of course. Yeah.
And
of
we were
course.
All just like, yes, we have to do that.
Well, I do want to say also, as we're kind of talking about the construction of this video, that it was the editor's idea. It was Ashley's idea to start the video directly in with no introduction, so that there was no time to really like adjust to this being something that wasn't it to be Rickrolled. So so that was a really good, really, really good suggestion.
Makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
I also want to say, before we get into the sins of it, that because Barrett was trying to spend time with his family, Jonathan and I were left to review this video, and we did a terrible fucking job.
We missed two things.
Three, I think.
We're both desensitized to cursing, so we don't know when there's not bleeps.
There was unbleeped cursing that you missed.
Yeah.
And then he said what,
vermilitude or something?
Verisimilitude.
Yeah, but he said it incorrectly. And of course, we didn't know that.
Well,
so
it was very slight. I mean,
did he say verisimilitude?
He said whatever wrong.
I don't
said
remember.
Wrong.
It was very close, though.
You're Barrett asking the people who missed it, Aaron.
And Barrett is so precise with his pronunciation, I would never even think that he mispronounced it.
No.
You know? Well, and it's kind of like the stuff we were talking about you were going to be redoing.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was very slight, in my opinion, if I remember correctly. But then Barrett's going to come back and say, no, it was way off.
We were literally like, hey, Barrett, we did it. We reviewed it. It's ready to go. Here's the final link. Have a great vacation. And he gets back like 15 minutes later like, well, you guys forgot to bleep fuck. Like, shit.
Yeah, no. This is my life every week, reviewing music video sins. Because we always have to review it while he's recording Sincast. And so typically I'm doing a lot of it. And then he'll come on, you know, and then I'll be like, yeah, I think this is a print. And then there's like eight things.
I'm
like,
oh, man.
Now, part of it, I will say part of it for me, I have a problem with is that he writes the script. So he's got the visuals in mind. So I don't always catch
sure.
if there's a visual issue.
Yeah.
Right.
Unless it's a fragment or something.
Yeah.
And if something seems really off, like they're talking about something and I'm like, you're not showing that. What, you know, I might mention it, but I rarely ever catch. So he comes on and gets all that. But I get all the like dialogue and stuff like that, you know.
Sure.
Fix. So he doesn't have to mess with that.
Well, yeah, I learned an interesting.
But that's what we missed. So.
We missed a couple big things.
I mean, it would have been okay if the fuck. I'm sure there's some unbleeped cursing and some.
I'm sure there
videos.
Is.
Well, we purposely did one a while back in one, the Doctor Who video as a joke. So, yeah.
Yeah. So this is Danae and I's last week at Cinema Sins.
We've been fired.
So yeah, let's talk about the sins. I love the one that was like, if you really listen to this, it actually sounds like a threat. I thought that was a great observation. Almost as good as the observation in the conjunction where he says, never going to run around and desert you. And it's like,
yeah,
well played, sir. Well played. I thought that was absolutely hilarious. The smiling while you're singing was the other thing I wanted to mention. Mm-hmm. I've just never thought about that. You know, that you can't smile while you're singing. You just can't pull it off. There's only a couple people that can. So yeah, I really enjoyed this video. It's good stuff. What did you guys have?
I like, oh, the bartender thing, that whole thing just killed me because he does, like the bartender looks like confused at first and then all of a sudden he's happy. Like he's, so, you know, Barrett kind of surmises or the narrator surmises that maybe they just took over a wedding.
Yeah, venue.
Venue. And so they just were like, they let the bartender be in the video and stuff. I don't know. I just found all that humorous.
Or the jump split combination that was fueled by cocaine.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. But mostly it was fun to read the comments of people reacting to being Rickrolled, and I think that was a lot of fun for us because it's a different way to, I don't know. It's a different way to like serve the fans. It's something really fun. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so. There's times we get to kind of expand beyond the typical format. You know, we get to do something a little meta. We get to do something a little different. And those are always, I think, really fun for us and really fun for the fans. So we look for opportunities to do that stuff.
The comment that I really liked, there's so many, but the one that I really liked that was on Reddit was Robot B9 said, "You son of a bitch." And then Castriff goes, "I got to suffer yesterday on Patreon. Now you get to suffer with me."
Nice.
Because our members get videos early. So if you guys are thinking about or ever wonder why there's comments before it's released, it's because our members get to see them.
I saw somebody comment on one of the videos before it released, "Just putting this here to troll the people who wonder why people can comment early."
That's great. Like,
nice. Very nice.
That's better than just saying first.
Yes, it is.
First.
Much better than saying that. All right, we ready to move on to Cinema Sins?
Ready. Mm-hmm.
It's funny because I can't count the number of times I've wanted to say movie sins. We ready to move on to movie sins? Like, no. It's called Cinema Sins, Aaron. It's kind of a big deal. You should probably remember what it's called.
No, that's that other channel we're starting.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Forgot. We'll kick it off with Sonic the Hedgehog. This was a Hughes Share script. Danae and Barrett writing on this one. I am not privileged to know who sent us notes ahead of time on stuff. So if like Barrett's got notes on any of these just, you know, let me know and we'll make sure we get
their thoughts
first.
Yeah, this is from Barrett. He said writing with Danae was absolutely incredible. She is one of my favorite people to write with. He wrote you can see it. Uh-huh,
you can see it right there
chat.
In front of you. You should have said it like Barrett says. Writing with Danae is one of my favorite things.
Denny. Barrett. He didn't have a lot of time to give feedback,
okay,
so we're not
going
to be hearing from Barrett about his Sonic writing experience. But it was a lot of fun to write with him. This was one we wanted to. It was on the schedule. I was going to get my hands on it and then have to turn it around faster than I've ever been asked to before, so I was really nervous.
Gotta go fast. What did you think about the movie?
It's a really interesting movie. Like, I wanted to have a lot of fun with this movie because Sonic is one of those characters from my youth that brings me joy. My brother and I used to play Sega together all the time, and it was a family affair to sit in front of the television and cheer my brother on, as he was the one that finally beat that stupid underwater world. Oh my God, that thing was the water awful. Because you had to breathe air and run around and jump in these, it was just very specific. I can to this day still hear that sound, like when he breathes in the air bubble.
Yeah.
Anyway, so when I got this script, I actually wrote my brother. I was like, hey, I'm writing on Sonic, and I'm just having this flood of memories of you and I playing video games when we were little. And we just texted back and forth about like our fun memories. So I really, really enjoyed that part. The movie itself, I don't understand what it's doing, except for introducing Sonic into our world in what I suppose they consider to be an interesting way, where Sonic is sort of this orphan figure that doesn't belong anywhere but wants to belong. And he's sort of someone who's observing humans, wishing he could be a part, but, you know, was told when he was little he couldn't be a part of anything for safety. And then he kind of has to essentially break into our world because he's forced to, except for that every time that they break him into our world, it's very questionable about why it has to happen. It's everything is plot convenience. Everything is forced. And that is fun if you're a kid and you don't think about those things. But once you pull up those strings, the whole thing is just it's just more supposed to be entertaining to watch. And even then, Sonic isn't Sonicking very much. It's really just an advertisement for Olive Garden and Zillow.
Yeah.
It was disappointing for me as an adult to watch. I would have much rather watched some kind of cool themed movie where he's, you know, doing his shit, like in a video game or something, you know? And then it's like supposed to be at the very end, like, oh, here's Tails. Oh, Tails, there's so much more to this world that we haven't even shown you yet. And it's just like, dude, this was lame. I don't, except for that it looks cool, like, I'm not interested in coming back here. So I was bummed.
I kind of disagree with the video game part, because I thought they did nod to the video game pretty well. I like that every time he gets knocked over, his rings spill, you know, kind of like in the video game kind of thing. I like that when he battles Robotnik's vehicle, it becomes smaller and smaller versions of the vehicle,
yeah,
like in the video
cool.
game kind of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, that was cool.
Like there are those little dynamics that I think do wink at it that are fun. However, I will say my enjoyment of this movie is probably 99% Jim Carrey. And I just had so much fun watching Jim Carrey be like old school Jim Carrey. And I thought it was really impressive that he could still be old school Jim Carrey in that physical of a way as he gets older. And yeah. I was really excited by that and had such a fun time. And the video does touch on that a little bit too, that I think that probably put some rose colored glasses on my whole experience. So I probably like the movie more than it deserves just because I had so much fun. So that was kind of my experience.
What about you, Jonathan? Did you watch this?
Yeah, no, I saw it in the theater because Chris and I did a mini pod, but I saw it by myself because that was like a Thursday night or something, so my daughter couldn't go with me. I've watched it, I think, two times since with her. So I've seen it like three times. I find it very, like, I don't know, me with as a person who watches a lot of kids' movies because I have a kid, I found this to be like in that kind of just middle ground where it was pretty inoffensive. Like, I didn't like hate myself watching it, and I had a perfectly fine time with it. I like that Jim Carrey's great. The Sonic character I liked fine because he's like, I don't know, he's not like annoying. Like a lot, like that's a horrible thing about kids' movies these days is a lot of the times like the main protagonist is so fucking annoying. Like you just want to like beat the protagonist or something because they get on your nerves. Sonic was like he was just like a kid, right? He was just like a kid that was excited about venturing into the world and doing things and spying on women in hot yoga pants.
Speaking of Ben Schwartz, by the way, he voices Sonic. So we mentioned him Parks and Rec video and Middle Ditch and Schwartz. He does the voice of Sonic, and I think he does great.
I thought he did good too.
I don't know what Sonic would have looked like before because I know they had to go in and spend all that money on it.
And thank God they did because he looked great. Yeah.
Yeah. And it made a lot of money, so I guess it was worth it in the long run for them. But, you know, you guys pointed out all the stuff that was wrong with it. But I thought as far as just like a big budget, trying to create a franchise kids movie, it was fine.
Do you want to kick off our thoughts on the video, Jonathan?
Sure. I really like that you guys poked some fun at this. I'm not a fan of starting a movie at the end. That's just not a story device I enjoy. I liked the phrasing of wiggle your wangle.
Yes. Better idea.
And also,
wiggle your wangle.
Yeah. And also, that's just bad comic booking.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to guess this was Danae. I guess that means Longclaw probably deserved to die.
That was me, yeah. For sure.
And then I love when I and I'm assuming this is Barrett, because I know he gets excited about when he gets to point out actual sins, the envy sin. And he said, hey, that's an actual sinny sin. Was yeah. that was that you or him?
I think that was him.
Yeah. He gets really excited about that. Whenever you're writing a script with him, if he gets to actually do something like that's an actual
hey,
sin.
Hey, that's lust. Hey, that's a real one.
And then, oh my God, there's drones in this fucking movie too, which I had somehow forgotten about. Chris and I just did another one with drones, and
I know
I wrote a sin recently. I was like, I'm having a hard time remembering a movie that didn't have drones in it at this
yeah.
point.
We talked about that a few weeks ago, and I was writing this script, and I was like, I'm doing one right now that has so many drones in it. It was Sonic. There's so many drones, like a ridiculous amount.
Trying to figure out how fast Sonic is. I mean, that was really interesting, and you guys did some serious math and some serious mileage checks and all kinds of stuff. That's always impressive. And then the only other thing I had is, who the fuck has smelling salts in a first aid kit?
Which somebody was in the comments talking about that being realistic. I didn't actually finish reading the comment. I got distracted, but that was funny. Yeah, that's funny.
It is still weird. I mean, she's a vet too. Like you said, she's a vet.
It's a people.
I mean, I don't know why she would have all this, because I don't know that they use smelling salts on animals.
Probably because I didn't want to slap him. That's my answer.
Hey, just a quick question. Have either of you ever seen anybody use smelling salts in the real world? Ever?
No.
In any way?
No.
I have watched
my child stick her fingers onto her butt and then smell it, which I assume would wake anyone up.
It's that monkey video. It's that famous monkey video.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yes.
I had some other stuff to mention. How is the dog calm? Just was an amazing finish to that sin, because it is possibly the most sinful part about that whole idea. And I love that you finished with that. It was great.
Yeah.
Weird part of Earth, like Ohio, certainly made me laugh as a Michigander. I was like, yeah, take that, Ohio. And then the no one's ever given me a gift before. And then, like, what about Longclaw? Like, you know, gave her life for you. Like, what a stupid thing to say. Also, the Deputy Pew Pew and McChainsaw names really made me laugh. And then, of course, I think your sunglasses are going to be nasty and your donut will taste of metallic paper clips. Get a friend. That was really good, too. So, yeah, I had a lot of fun with this. Lots of good stuff. Danae, anything you wanted to mention?
I wanted to mention that I learned that Fugazi can be pronounced Fugazi and Fugazi. I thought it was Fugazi.
Mm.
But, you know, Jeremy pronounced it for Fugazi. And so when we were doing the editing, I thought maybe he did it wrong. But then I looked it up and you can say it both ways. But Fugazi is super okay. So that was super, super new.
It's a fun word.
That's interesting, though. I learned that a lot from Jeremy's narration. Like, I just recently learned that it's Piper Parabo.
Hmm.
I always said Parabo.
Oh, interesting.
Wow. This one had the list of side effects in it, which I referenced when Aaron, we were talking about one recently that, like, side effects include. I had just written this one in the script for list of side effects for boredom, essentially.
Yeah, that was the Birds of Prey video, the side effects for one at a time
itis.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I got to have some fun in this one and do a call out to some of the places where Sonic could go. The towns that I listed are all places I sent behind the scenes stickers to, which is something that only you guys would know.
You're so clever. That's so great.
Yeah, I wanted to pick places that aren't usually mentioned, especially places that aren't in the U.S., and then land on one that is in the U.S. that's lame, which is Branson, Missouri, where I've been going since I was a little girl because I live in the Ozarks.
Or Ohio. Yeah, that's like, lame that's Ohio.
Like, that's like I've had to go to Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge my whole life. Yeah, that's your Branson.
Being brought back with the power of friendship.
Of course.
But the biggest thing I will take away from this one is that my handwriting is just like Sonic's. If you look at those bucket list ones, I have terrible handwriting. I have Sonic's handwriting. So if you want to know what my handwriting looks like, that's what it looks like.
Oh.
I think everyone that listens wanted to know what your handwriting looks like.
I know.
They've been waiting 52 episodes.
Here it is. The big
finally got it.
The big reveal.
You finally got it.
Yeah, but everything you guys mentioned, everything else, it was a lot of fun to write on this one.
Yeah, good video. Let's move on to Uncut Gems. This was an Atkinson Cher script, the Adam Sandler Uncut Gems. This is one, when I saw it was on the schedule, I was like, really? Like, it just seems like a different kind of movie than we usually do, because it's awards bait, it's very intense, it's, you know, it's, I mean, I guess there's kind of humor in it, but it's definitely not the heart of the movie. So, but what did Chris have to say on this one, Danae?
Yeah, he called it pure anxiety overload.
Yeah, that's true.
Which I kind of picked up as I watched the Sins video, that this is more intense because I don't know anything about it. So this is interesting to me to talk about it today. Uncut Gems is pure anxiety overload. I think that Safdie.
Yeah, the Safdie brothers. Safdie
brother, yeah, I think that the Safdie brothers made exactly the movie that they wanted, with a main character who is not likable at all. It's up to the viewer to decide whether they can tolerate it. I'm very upfront that I like this movie. It's unique. Most quote-unquote bad guy movies try to make them out to be good guys, and this one basically never lets up that he's not good at all. My favorite sin that I wrote was, if I wanted to have this much anxiety watching a movie, I'd watch Basic Instinct with my mom on her birthday. Which was the one of the big ones I wrote down from the video. So that's what he had to write about it. I've never seen this video or this movie, and I'm not surprised. So I'm really curious if you guys can kind of succinctly explain to me. I think I picked up basically that there's an opal that's found that just, does it cause trouble? Is it cursed?
No. This movie is pretty magic.
It, like, there's fairies.
Oh, cool. I like fairies.
Lots of clapping to bring them back to life.
This movie is a 2 hour and 15 minute panic attack. And this is what I was talking about earlier. Like, and I am just riddled with anxiety. And especially with our current state of affairs, that has definitely gotten worse. And so something like this would typically not be my forte. But like Chris said, it's so unique. And it's like, it's got this energy that I've never seen in a movie before in my life. And it's so interesting to watch how everything unfolds.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a borderline great movie for me personally. I totally get why people won't be on board with this. I mean, I think you're either on board with this journey that you take for 2 hours or you're not.
So that's my take
on it.
So what happens essentially?
So it's pretty easy to describe what happens in this movie.
Yeah.
Okay. Adam Sandler has a gambling problem, and this movie has him go through several different moments of giving into this gambling problem. And so the opal is kind of his big score, but at the same time, he keeps doing things to ruin it. So it's basically just like a gambler descending into, you know.
Yeah, and his marriage is deteriorating, or it's done, and he owes a lot of money to the people that want the money, and there's stuff like that on the edges.
And the anxiety that you're feeling is because he's essentially always in trouble, and there's like this tension that's building.
Well, because it's kinda like building. And also because he can't take a win. Like, and that's the thing. That's the thing that it's really showing you about the addiction of gambling, is that there's this thing where once you should walk away, you don't. You just throw it back into the next big thing. And, you know, and so at the end, which, I mean, spoilers for Uncut Gems, but spoilers, duh, because we're talking about the video anyway. With the end, when he has this huge win, but he gets shot and killed, it's like, that's actually probably better in this movie's perspective, because he was just going to mess that up somehow too. Like, it's a really, the movie has a very, I would say, quote unquote, grounded, realistic idea of how addiction destroys a life. And so there's almost a release of his death. It's almost a good thing. It's like, well, he's not suffering anymore from the anxiety and those kind of, it's dark. I mean, it's really dark, but.
Yeah. That was like when it got kind of towards the end of the video, and I'm like, okay, so we're happy that this guy's been shot in the face, because this entire thing has been so intense. And
yeah, it's like the movie is saying, you know, his colon was never going to kill him. A bullet hole was going to kill him. You know, like that's kind of the symbolism of the and the metaphor of the bookends there.
So you know, since having never seen it, I didn't know what was going to be happening. And so at the very beginning, you know, it's like zooming in on the gem, and it's going into the gem. And then all of a sudden we're like in the colon. And so I literally thought he swallowed the gem.
Oh, yeah.
And they were trying to, like, fish it out of his butt.
It opens up with a colonoscopy. But, yeah, I think the way Aaron put it, that's what I was trying to say. It's a very well orchestrated from beginning to end. Like, they know exactly what they're doing.
Yeah.
Did you like it, Aaron? I can't remember.
I did not.
I know we've talked
about it. No, I don't like this movie. Okay. I don't like movies like this.
You mean, like, the anxiety part of it?
See, I don't know that there are movies like this. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, I've never seen a movie like this.
This, to me, says something, but it says something in a way that it's not the way I want to hear it. Like, it's just not the way I want to experience it. Not every movie has to be fun, and not every movie has to give me good feelings. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying this movie specifically revels in that grit, in that darkness, in a way that is, I just don't like to live there for 2 hours. So
yeah, I think what I love about it, though, is the technical aspects to it. I think that's
totally
that's what absolutely drives me. I mean, but Adam Sandler's great. Julia Fox is really good.
Well,
she was a
Without going into, like, full review mode. Like, the other thing about it, you mentioned another character, and I'm just like, this movie has no interest in the side characters, and they are so paper thin, and so wasted. That's the other part of this movie. I was just like, I want to spend more time understanding his relationship with his wife, understanding his relationship with his girlfriend, understanding the Lakeith Stanfield character. Lakeith is great in this movie, but he's barely in it, and he's completely shoved to the side. So, you know, I just didn't have a great experience because I didn't feel like the movie cared about the same things I did in the story.
I totally get it, but it's just such a, I haven't seen I don't know anything about the Safdie brothers. I haven't watched Good Times. I don't know if you've seen that.
I don't
know if it's similar. So there could be people saying, well, you need to watch Good Times. It's the exact same thing. I have no idea, but I don't know. This movie fascinated me to no end. Don't know if it's one I'm going to watch a lot just because I think I might have a heart attack if I tried to watch it again.
I was reading the comments, and there's so much of that. Like, Allison said, this movie made me feel wildly uncomfortable during the entire viewing. And at one point, I turned to my fiance and said, this is a great movie, but it makes me want to crawl out of my skin. Mm-hmm. And then there's 26 replies to that with the same kind of feeling. And that's just one of so many comments of people having that same kind of experience in this movie. And what's interesting is it might be one of the only movies I can say this about, but when I watched Gravity in the theater on, like, a huge screen and 3D or whatever it was, I was having, like, out of body experiences that I had never experienced in a movie before, where I was really being affected by feeling like I was isolated and then feeling like I was free floating and then just the nausea of things moving a little bit, and the intensity of getting back to Earth and that buildup of not knowing what's going to happen and then the rush. Everything was so real in that way. It kind of reminds me of a little bit of what you guys are talking about.
That's a great comparison, because Gravity is the opposite for me. Like, I get that. If people got on, I never got on board with Gravity for 1 second. And so I totally get that. I think that's a great comparison.
So this is the part of the show where I go off for 20 minutes about the genius of the movie Gravity. No, I won't do that.
I believe you. No, I totally, Barrett like basically called me an idiot when I told him I didn't like that movie the first time. And he never does that. He was like, you gotta be kidding me. What is fucking wrong with you?
No. Feel free to DM me on Twitter if you want to hear my Gravity.
But I think
take,
it's kind of the same thing, right? It's like you're either on board or you're not. And that, you know,
but
sure.
I think I'm pinpointing more like the visceral feel of it, or like the it evokes such a maybe an unexpected fight or flight, I think, is what we're talking about in a movie.
Yes,
and it seems like maybe Uncut Gems is that intensity doesn't lift up or whatever, except for maybe that long moment of them walking and sleeping, which is maybe them giving the audience a chance to have their body go out of shock for a minute before going back into shock, so that they don't have anybody like pass out in the theater. Maybe
it's an interesting comparison, and I think I'll kind of sum up my thoughts here, but the anxiety in those two movies is used for completely different points, like almost the opposite end of the spectrum. Gravity is a movie where the anxiety is life is anxiety, life is hard, but there's purpose, and that, you know, there's a goal, and
like
there's
trying
purpose
to get back to life,
getting
trying
on,
to
back,
get back
on
home.
Your feet, you know, living, those kind of things. And this is a movie that's like life is hard and anxious and also pointless, and you know, like that the
kind of like a throw throwaway feel.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, is there any meaning? I'm not sure. I don't think so. You know, that's kind of the end of this movie. So, yeah. So those, that probably sums up why I connect to one and why I don't connect to the other.
Well, and I will say from a personal standpoint, I won't get too detailed about this, but one side of my family has a serious addictive gene. I know I have it. I've seen up close and personal, like very close members of my family, what addiction of various things does to them. This movie nails it. I mean, nails it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
In a way that was very frightening to me, but it was also kind of safe because of the movie, right? It's not real life, but that was fascinating to me because most movies don't get addiction right at all.
And
it's just like they don't get to, you know.
Yeah, no, totally. And as someone who didn't like the movie, I will say this. I feel like I need to say this. Just the fact that we've had this 15-minute conversation to me means it's doing its job. It's a good, like, to me, that's a successful movie, even if I didn't enjoy
it.
Because we can have these conversations. And to me, that is what great art does. Even if it's distasteful to you or you don't like it, it creates great, deep conversation. So, yeah, I think Uncut Gems is a successful movie, just not one I enjoyed.
Right.
But Danae is judging you. Just know
yes,
that.
Of course.
100%.
Of course. Let's get into the video. How do you be funny with a movie like this? Well, you ask Chris and Barrett. That's how you do it. You have them write it. So I'll start on this one. I loved the observation of the use of the word extra and how you just can tell that that's one of those words that's not going to age well. And it just got me thinking about what kind of slang does age well, like somehow cool. Aged really well, continues to be a word. Awesome has kind of aged pretty well, continues to be a word that people use. But for the most part, you know, things just, people try to make fetch happen and fetch doesn't happen. So, you know, it's extra feels like that. The shouty, shouty, shout yell was funny because it's so true. This movie is so anxious that it made High Anxiety turn its title to Dead Calm, and Dead Calm had to become Being in Nothingness. That really, it's just so clever and so interesting, and I love the way that
clever,
was.
It's very clever, and it's also cool to have a High Anxiety reference.
Dead Calm reference, that. For that matter.
Yeah, there you go.
For sure.
Shouldn't have killed the dog, though. I would like Dead Calm if they didn't kill the dog. But anyways, go ahead.
And then the...
Spoiler!
The ADR repetition was so fun because it brought me back to Monsters vs. Aliens when I did that to Reese Witherspoon when she got crushed by the meteor. And just that making, I want this to be one of my favorite things occasionally, just when it calls for it, when the ADR is weird like that, just to have Jeremy be saying, play it again. Like, it's one of my favorite things. So, yeah, I'm up for that at any point. What about you guys?
I just have a couple because I was really just trying to figure out the movie and kind of watching it more than I probably needed it to be. But that's me. Thank God. I'm sorry, but I haven't been this happy to see a movie character shot in the face since, and then mention someone from The Godfather, I think Virgil, somebody. I wasn't expecting that. Hey, podcast peeps. It's me again. Those are my dogs. Those are my... every time I talk... Wow. Is this how Aaron feels? When we're... Okay. We're going to try this. I just wanted to tell you about the survey again, which is at cinemasins.com/BTS. So go fill it out. Sin, which is why I wrote it down.
Yeah.
Just like the relief, which we sort of talked about earlier. But then, like, only a real asshole would put his GI doctor on speakerphone at this point to talk about his real asshole. Just in kind of fun stuff. So mine were definitely like the lighter ones that I enjoyed. But you mentioned the other ones. Jonathan, what about you?
Yeah, you guys. Yeah, Aaron mentioned a lot of them. I did really enjoy the speaker. Just the talking on a speakerphone in public. Just that.
But to your GI doctor. Like, how's my butt, doc?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Aaron, did you mention Pact of the Gills with Anxiety? Did you mention that already and I missed it?
No, I mean, only in regards, High Anxiety one was the only one I think I mentioned.
Oh, that's right. That's the one you said, but I just liked that because, you know, obviously it was fish in front of them and then it was packed to the gills with anxiety. That felt like, did Aaron really not write on this? Because comparing him to Worm and Rounders, I thought was excellent.
Yeah.
And then I also just want to say for my, oh, taking a sin off for Idina Menzel was a good idea. She's also very good in this. I think Carrie Fox gets a lot of the, Julia Fox, sorry. Mm-hmm. I think Julia Fox gets a lot of the attention, but I think Idina Menzel's performance shouldn't go unnoticed. So I thought that was really cool. And then I just love that we point out that they did, the Celtics did lose to the Miami Heat in the next round.
Because, it's very important. Very important
know,
to
Heat
know.
Heat Nation needs to hear that.
This was the one that also had can you imagine how insufferable Boston fans would be if they won a few championships?
Oh, yes.
That's a great sin.
Yeah, that was funny. This is clearly isn't true. They haven't won anything in 100 years.
That's right. Good stuff.
No,
good
that's
stuff.
All I got.
Hey, podcast peeps. It's me again. Those are my dogs. Mm-hmm. Those are my... every time I talk... Wow. Is this how Aaron feels? When we're... Okay. We're going to try this. Okay. I just wanted to tell you about the survey again, which is at cinemasense.com/BTS. So go fill it out.
All right, let's move on to keeping tabs.
The internet is a communications tool used the world over where people can come together to bitch about movies and share pornography with one another.
Oh, jeez.
This is the most public yet of my many humiliations.
Reach going to tell a story from putting together the week's content. Maybe a Google search, some strange research, deleted sin, whatever the case may be. Danae, why don't you start?
Okay. I looked up magic mushrooms. I had to make sure that if you're tripping mushrooms, you do poop a lot.
I may or may not have thrown up every time I did it.
Right. I mean,
you're basically putting like natural poison in your body. It's
You're eating mushroom that grows out of shit. So
yeah, I quit doing them when I found that out. I did them. I did them more than once, and then I found that out, and then my shit aversion just was too much. So I was like, nope.
I have personal experience with magic mushrooms, and that's a story for another day. However,
Really enjoyed cream of mushroom soup when I was younger.
It's different. That's definitely different. There are some terrible side effects. Don't do drugs.
Yeah, definitely.
Stay in your body and try to find your way through healthily. And
watch Uncut Gems. That'll give you a rush.
There you go. I don't know if it's the kind of rush that you want, but then the kind of rush you don't want can happen if you take magic mushrooms. But anyways, it was kind of fun to get back into that kind of world and just remember what psilocybin can do. So that was my keeping tabs.
What about you, Jonathan?
Magic mushrooms.
I don't have anything. I just worked on Parks and Rec, and there was nothing on that show I really looked up that was of any interest. And I didn't have any, like, my sins that got cut needed to be. So
Isn't that fun?
or they were stuff that we had, you know, Aaron had something to, and we just
didn't look up any like Parks and Recreation, like government local meetings, and learn how you can get involved in your local
fun.
Park
I did,
board.
I did write the sin about that. You know, they're talking about, they're kind of making fun that nobody's there. I guess we didn't talk about that.
There's like 30 people there.
Yeah, and I'm like, good God, that thing is sold out. Like, I mean, it might as well be. I mean, have you ever been to a community meeting? Like, there's like 5 people there.
No, you haven't, because nobody has. Nobody
exactly,
goes to those.
But no, I knew I was right there, so I did not have to look anything up.
Yeah,
so.
That's right. I'm sorry, my mind got distracted because I was like, oh, keeping tabs, drugs, LSD tabs? Is that what they're keeping LSD tabs? I had a couple things I could mention. One is I was looking for a sin in the office video about what kind of food item they might have been throwing at each other. So I did some research on Chili's menus and ended up landing on the white spinach queso as the projectile of choice. But I did find some like menus from when they first started in Texas in mm-hmm. the mid to late 70s. And it was just a one-page menu with basically Tex-Mex kind of food on it. And the one result from that was the fact that the Chili's logo actually first connected the H in the first I. So it didn't like go around the L to the second I like it does now. And of course, you know, wrote that sin on all that stuff. So it was just kind of interesting to go back in history about that. But then I said I'd talk about the mic pack. So we can talk about that, because there was a lot of discussion in the comments about how in the office at the very end of the show, Michael takes off a lapel microphone. Mm-hmm. And that there are other instances in the office where they take off microphones or those kind of things. And this is all I have to say about that. The times when you see microphones in the office is when it's convenient to the story. They are not on them at the other times, and that's the point. Yes, of course, they can say, hey, he's wearing a lapel mic now, but if you watch this episode, he is not wearing any kind of lapel mic. You can see it, and they are not wearing mic packs. Same with Parks and Rec. You don't see any mic packs when you see full shots of them. Do you want to know why? Because they're being recorded by a boom mic. That's how they're doing the show. So, yeah, it's kind of one of those things where it's like, yes, I understand that they do make reference to lapel mics in the show, but if you actually watch the show, you will not see them. So, I just kind of wanted to get a little defensive about that, because the comments were like, well, actually, and I'm like, well, actually, back at you, buddy.
Aaron has an entire diagram of the layout of the office and where the boom mics are. He's zoomed into every single outfit. He has screenshots to prove
that's
the lapel mics
that's
aren't
right.
there.
I've got the receipts.
He has the receipts.
I listened to I can't think of who plays Angela, but
do you listen to their podcast?
Yeah, Pam is Jenna Fisher, right? Mm-hmm,
yeah.
And I feel
Angela,
like Angela
Martin.
I feel like her name is Angela.
It is.
Yeah, it's Angela Noelle Schrute. Oh, no, wait, yes. That's a fictional character.
Oh.
Angela Martin is her.
Angela
is
Martin.
Her, is that right?
But
I think that's right.
But they do a podcast together where they're watching the Office episode and
Angela
talking about.
Angela Knisley. That's her name.
Hold on.
There's so many Angelas.
Sorry. But anyways, yeah, it's like Office Ladies or something
yeah,
like that. I can't remember. It's been a minute since I've listened to it. Angela Kenzie is her name. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
I think I said Knisley, but yeah.
But anyways, that I listened to, and they, but one interesting thing, they were talking about the first episode versus the future episodes. When they shot the pilot, they actually shot the pilot in an office. So, yeah. Like, they didn't have the luxury of, like, removing walls, and like they do, obviously, in the future episodes, like you're talking about moving stuff. I just thought that was fascinating, because there is a difference when you watch the pilot versus episodes after it, for sure.
Yeah.
And that starts making more sense. That's why most people don't shoot on location for stuff like that, because you can't maneuver it to the way you need it to be.
Yeah.
But anyways, that's a pretty fascinating podcast, by the way. If anyone is interested in learning more about the Office episodes, like I'm sure
Danae is all about it. She wants to hear all the inside scoop on what was going on.
And it is called Office. It is called Office Ladies. That is what it's called.
All right, let's
skip.
Let's move on to the comment section.
I
want to know
what you're thinking. I appreciate your honesty. You're a real straight shooter.
You are the ones who are the ball lickers.
We're each going to take a look at some of the comments on the videos this week. Jonathan, why don't you kick us off?
Yeah, so I took one actually off Twitter, and it just happened like today or yesterday, but I saw it this morning. It was at JetMets3348 said, just know, I think he was listening to last week's podcast and he was commenting on it. He said, just know, at Danae says, D&D story is like you listening to Jonathan and Aaron talk about football. First off... We listened to Danae, and I think we made that very clear.
Yes, we did.
With our tweets. And if you want to know what it is for me and Aaron to start talking about something Danae has no interest in, she is not listening. She is looking on her phone.
Yeah.
Or typing it, or she's updating Slack channels, which I noticed she just did because I got a notification.
She's doing a Google search on "Are pots and kettles both black?" That's what she's.
Oh my
she's
god!
She's doing a Google search.
So it was really funny when I saw her tweet that, like, that people don't listen to her. Like, what are you talking about? Us not listening to you?
Yeah, but, no, that was all in the name of humor.
It definitely worked
to my benefit. And
so
I'm definitely being called out right now, and you're so right. Like, it is, they're uncomparable. My beloved BTS buds here listen to my shenanigans, and anytime they talk about movies or sports, I literally just check out, and then I come back to like certain keywords, like when Aaron says, okay, when he says okay a certain way, I know I'm like, okay, we're going to move on to the next section. So
there was literally an example in that episode where you were like, I didn't hear any of the last 5 minutes you said.
Well, then I give you 6% of my attention, yeah, or whatever it was.
Yeah.
But it was super fun on that tweet to be like, you're my new best friend, Jonathan. And like,
yeah. I love, at Jets Met, so he's a really nice guy. I've talked to him about a lot of different things, but he does that most weeks while he's listening. He'll just send random tweets about like what part of the show he's in.
Yeah, it's so fun. I love all the fan love.
Yeah,
that we get.
Thank
really
you for your love. It really does mean the world to us that you are actually listening to what we have to say, even when we aren't listening to each other.
What was really funny was when Danae was telling that story, I saw Aaron on his phone.
Yeah, I did. I just had a text come in from one of my kids. I'm like, well, better check that just in case. What'd I miss? No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, good stuff. Good stuff. I forget, Danae, you haven't gone yet, have you? Speaking of not listening,
no.
What do you got?
It is funny though. I did get a tweet from Dexter about like, keep telling your D&D stories. I love mm-hmm. them. So it's fun to get your feedback. I real quick shout out to the pictures that we're getting, like Twitter and even I think Reddit, and also on Discord, of people getting their merch. Just thank you guys so much for buying the merch and sharing your pictures. I just wanted to mention it here for the comments and stuff, since you guys are really interactive. You don't have to tweet your actual like face if you don't want to, but if you want to show off your merch, like today I'm wearing my Go Live Life and Do Stuff shirt today, and people are getting their posters and all kinds of things. So really, really appreciate all of that. The comment that I just wanted to call out though was from Uncut Gems. Miguel said that this movie was, quote, the only one without the logo opening time sin. And then there are quite a few replies that are people pointing out other videos where we didn't actually have an open logo sin. And I continue to find that absolutely mind-boggling that people actually remember those. Like, I guess, let's see, Rage Powered Gamer said 7 days ago, Serenity had no sins. And it's the cameo guy said there was also Pirates of the Caribbean, Curse of the Black Pearl. But that might be because CinemaSins covered it 7 years ago. 7 years ago, and you remember that? It just blows my mind.
Have they been going? Yeah, I guess they're 2013.
Yeah, 2012, actually, I think was when that
that's right. No, you're right.
Yeah, I mean, there are plenty without the logo sins. I'm not revealing any company secrets here because this is not an official thing. But in my brain, if you're under 35, you're good. Like, it's not really worth calling out in my head. So, but that's not like an official rule, but yeah, if once it gets over that 35 second mark into the, it's kind of like for us on TV Sins, we actually have talked about kind of an official rule with a theme song. If your theme song is over a minute long, you're taking too much of my time, like kind of thing. And it doesn't matter how good the theme song is, none of that matters. If you take more than 60 seconds of my time with theme, then you're gonna get a sin, kind of thing. So yeah, it's just kind of, you know, we're just trying to keep them in line. We're just trying to do our job, you know, make sure they know what the what is.
What the what.
My comment is a series of comments on the Parks and Recreation video about the new narrator. I don't know who this guy is, but I thought I would make some comments.
Sounds
on
like you.
He sounds a lot like me. No, but it's one of those things where it's like I appreciate the feedback, especially those who are giving constructive criticism. But I need some clarity because many of the comments say that I sound too much like Jeremy. And then a bunch of them say I sound not enough like Jeremy. Some say I'm too mean. And then they're the ones that say my voice is too nice. Some say that it sounds like I mean the sins too much, like I'm being too serious about it. And then others are like, I don't care. They think my voice sounds like I don't care. So I just, if you could all get together and agree on how I need to improve, that would really help me out. So guys, I'm just asking for consistency. Look, I'm trying to get better and I just need to know exactly what I need to do. You know,
what do you want me to do?
In all seriousness, it is pretty easy for me to kind of of see through where it's really just about change, you know, and it's, we all struggle with change. And it's also, in all seriousness, very nice for the many, many people who have reached out to me privately or even publicly and just said that they enjoy what's going on. So I want you to know that I hear you, and I thank you very much for those comments. They do mean the world to me.
The dick pics are weird, though. He shared those with us. And no. One of you needs to go get something checked out. You know what I'm talking to. I like giving it a little more authenticity.
Yeah. Send your we have a dick pic email address?
I think we do. I'll check real quick.
Send your dick pics to
you're the new narrator. Here's a picture of my dick.
Well, it's, you know, people don't need much. They don't need much to send those sometimes.
And let's just be clear. It's D-I-K, D-I-K.
That's right. P-I-K. No, I have no idea. No, in all seriousness, I really do appreciate the kind words. It does mean a lot to the new guy who's trying to figure it out. All right, let's move on to Beyond the Sins.
To infinity and beyond.
Somewhere beyond my wild history.
To boldly go where no man has gone before.
I guess I'll go ahead and start us off. I've been doing this thing recently where, because I'm kind of caught up on television, because there's not a lot of television being produced, not going to movies, and I've been catching up on movies that I wanted to revisit. So not even list of shame stuff, but like movies where I don't remember why I liked them so much or why I didn't like them so much, just to kind of refresh my mind on those kind of things. And one in the why did I like this movie so much category was World War Z. So I went back and watched the Brad Pitt vehicle World War Z, because in my mind I'm like, I don't like zombie stuff. It's not, you know, I don't like the world building usually in it. I don't like the zombie stuff. And so I went back and watched it, and I gotta say, I really still like that movie. There's something about the way it sets its world rules that it sticks with in a way that I'm pleased with and that makes sense for the story, so that I'm able to just kind of enjoy the intensity of that movie. I don't know if you've seen it, how long it's been since you've seen it, but I just wanted to throw that out there, that I think World War Z is, if you're going to ask me to pick a zombie movie that's not a comedy, by the way, there are zombie comedy, zomcoms that I do like, but World War Z is an actual zombie movie that I really enjoy.
Have you watched any of the Romero stuff?
I mean,
no, I was just curious.
Not intently and not in a while,
like,
but yeah.
Which one did you watch? Did you watch just Night of the Living Dead?
Yeah, Night of the Living Dead. Yeah.
No, Night of the Living Dead. Okay. I was just curious. I've seen World War Z. The only thing about World War Z is that the book it's based on, which was written by Max Brooks, which is Mel Brooks' son, is really cool, because the way it's written in, all of a sudden I can't think of how you say this. It's written in like, people are telling their story from the zombie apocalypse.
Oh, interesting.
So it's almost like if it was like a documentary in book, where you have like talking heads explaining, like, so, which they really couldn't do that in the movie, and the movie's got to tell a specific story, but it was just so, like, that book is such an interesting take on that. And he actually, I just picked it up this past week. His new book is called, I believe it's De-Evolutionized or De-Evolution, but it's the same type of thing, but it's from a Bigfoot attack.
Oh, interesting.
It's like all these people talking about their different experiences with Bigfoot. So I'm really excited to read that and see what he did with that. So that's my only thing, is the movie is just not, I don't know. It's just, it's like, I think I almost wish the movie was called something else, I guess. It's kind of one of those weird, it's hard for me not to relate it to that, since it's technically based on the book, but it's not really.
Yeah.
But it's a perfectly fine movie, and there's nothing, I think the special effects get a little crazy with all the piles of zombies and
herds
and stuff.
Yeah, and I'm not saying it's perfect. I'm not saying it all holds together.
No, but it's good.
What I'm saying is it holds together enough, and it's believable enough to me, the way they explain it, that I'm not distracted by the nonsense, and I'm able to kind of stay with the character and what he's doing, and it takes some interesting turns, too. I think that stuff at the end at the CDC or wherever he ends up going is really intense and really well done. And I think it's worth the rewatch.
Yeah, I think it got kind of it was a big hit, but I do feel like it kind of got shit on by a lot of people, especially like horror fans and stuff, that I remember at the time, and I liked it fine.
Yeah.
And I've never really understood. I haven't seen it. It's been a few years since I've seen it. I've seen it a couple times, but it's been a few. That would be a fun one to revisit. I've been revisiting a lot of stuff too.
Yeah.
I actually watched Jaws 2 last night and was thinking about talking about that, but I didn't want to like.
I can take my headphones off.
No, it's fine. I've got something else to talk about.
I can take a bathroom break. You know, I'll come back.
No, it's fine. But Jaws 2, a little better than you probably remember. That's my hot take.
That could be your thing during Beyond the Sins now. Sequels that were better than you remember, like Psycho 2 and Jaws 2.
I've been watching a lot of part 2s. I don't know. There's nothing like, I haven't like intentionally done it. It's just stuff that's been like available to me at nights. And because I watched like, FX2 the other day, and then I watched Jaws 2 and I watched Psycho 2 and I watched Hills Have Eyes Part 2 and the original, not the, because there's two Hills Have Eyes Part 2. the one from the 80s that Wes Craven directed. That's the weird thing too, when you get remakes and then sequels to the remakes, you actually end up with like multiple Part 2s in some of these franchises.
The Hills Have Eyes Part 2, Part 2.
Yeah, exactly. Well, like in Halloween, you've got Halloween 2 from 1981, you got Rob Zombie's Halloween 2. It's very confusing. Mm-hmm. It gets kind of ridiculous.
I have a hot take about a 2. I think Godfather 2 is a good sequel. That's my hot take.
I'd like to say the same thing about Empire Strikes Back. Although, is that technically a part 5 now? I don't know how that works anymore.
What do you want to do for your Beyond the Sins, Jonathan?
I guess even though I am going to do a mini pod about this, but that's kind of all I've been watching this week mostly is stuff I'm going to be doing mini pod reviews of. So I guess I'll talk about The King of Staten Island. Before I do that though, I will say I watched Artemis Fowl. That movie is bonkers.
Right.
I don't even know. I'm about to talk about it in a couple hours. I still don't really know what I'm going to say about it, but it's terrible.
It's so bad. It is so bad.
Yeah, it is. I don't know that like it doesn't offend me the way it seems to offend people. Like it was like one of those things where I'm watching it going like, what the fuck is Disney doing? Like it doesn't even like tell a story.
No, it's chopped to bits and then they tried to put it back together and it's Frankenstein so bad
Well, and it's funny. I don't know if you had this experience, but the one thing I will say about it is when it's at the when the whole thing starts going down where the fairy's in the house.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was just going to be like one set piece and then like we'd move on to something else. And then, no, that's the rest of the movie.
Yep.
So the movie just ends like 30 minutes later.
Yep.
It was the weirdest thing. Anyways, but I will talk about The King of Staten Island. A lot of people have been saying a lot of good things about this. This is, of course, the new Judd Apatow movie. It's very much a Judd Apatow movie where he takes an up-and-coming comedian and kind of tells a semi-loosely real-life movie, I guess, story with them. This stars Pete Davidson from Saturday Night Live. His dad, in real life, was a firefighter who died having something to do with 9/11.
Yep.
I don't know. Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah. He was one of the, I guess, one of the rescuers.
Mm-hmm.
And he died, which is horrible. And so that's what this movie's about. Pete Davidson plays a character who's now in his 20s. His father died when he was 7. He was a firefighter. He died. It's a hotel fire, I believe.
In the movie. Yeah.
And then it's just kind of, it's very similar to if you've seen Trainwreck, if you've seen Knocked Up, if you've seen 40-Year-Old Virgin. It's very, kind of follows a very similar path that those movies followed, where he's just trying to figure shit out and trying to kind of, I guess, get a life for himself. And then you have these interesting characters. You have these like goofy, fun type characters on the side of him doing funny things, I guess. I don't know. I didn't really like this movie. I know a lot of people did. I think you said you did, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
I think part of it is kind of like the Larry David thing. I don't know that I find Pete Davidson that funny.
Well, I didn't go into it expecting a comedy. I don't think this is a comedy. I think this is a drama.
No, it is. But I mean, it's still very similar. I think it's still similar in the sense, I mean, there's a lot of comedy in this.
Sure, sure. Of course. It's just, it felt so different to me than his usual comedies where it's like Trainwreck or 40-Year-Old Virgin. Like they're obviously there for the laughs in this.
You don't think Trainwreck is kind of the same? I thought there's a lot of drama in Trainwreck.
Yes.
Funny People is very similar.
Yes. Funny People, I would say, is similar. Trainwreck, yes, there is drama in Trainwreck, but it is definitely a movie for the lulz. Like there are purposeful laugh out loud moments in that movie that I don't know this movie has much of.
But I've just never really gotten that much into Pete Davidson's like persona and the way he, you know, what he does on Saturday Night Live. He definitely has some good moments. I mean, I'm not going to lie. And he has some good moments in this movie. I think everybody has good. Well, one thing about the movie that kind of bothered me, though, was that like you were talking about side characters not being, side characters in Uncut Gems. The Bill Burr, Marissa Tomei storyline was way more interesting to me.
I agree. agree.
Like, I
no,
wanted
I
to
agree.
See a movie. I wanted to see a movie about them.
I agree. No, I agree with that.
And it's really interesting too, because there you have Bill Burr, who's also a stand-up comic.
He's the best thing about the movie for me.
He's absolutely the best thing about the movie. I think his story arc is really fascinating. And Pete Davidson, I don't know, he kind of reminded me of like Kristen Wiig in Bridesmaids, where there are definitely funny moments, but like I just don't feel like his character ever really goes anywhere and really ever really accomplishes anything.
No,
by the
you're
end
right.
of the movie.
You're not wrong. You're absolutely right.
And maybe that's the point, but it just, I didn't find it interesting. And like the last like 30 minutes of the movie, by the time he gets to the firehouse, the rest of that, I did not care about. Like,
yeah.
There was just, except for the Bill Burr stuff. That was the only thing.
Right. I don't blame you at all. I can totally see that response. I think the movie is very Apatowian, as mm-hmm. it were, in that it is really loose and really long. He does not like to edit. Like, it is, you feel like he wants everything to stay in there. And I was invested enough. I was just invested enough in the family. I was invested enough in the character. I liked his relationship with the Belle Pally character. I thought she was really fun.
I liked
fun.
Her a lot.
And so there were enough fun people in fun moments that I think
and,
I just stayed invested.
Shout out to Mod Apatow, who played obviously the daughter, one of the, her and her sister played the daughters in Knocked Up and This Is 40. And I don't remember how long ago This Is 40 was, but she's like 21 now in real life or whatever, 20. And she was actually like, she had some chops. Like,
yeah.
I was like, I would be really curious to see her in something else. And I thought having sisters, I thought Pete Davidson and her relationship felt very much like a brother sister
yes.
scenario.
Yeah, it felt like
I
that.
Will also say, and I know like, I don't think Apatow is, I don't know why this made me a little cringe. Maybe it's having a dead father. I have no idea. But I did think it was weird that I felt like sometimes like Apatow was using Pete Davidson's like real life and turning it into like a version of his movie.
Yeah, I think you have to, I just think you have to believe that Pete Davidson is doing it, not Judd Apatow.
Absolutely,
you know what I mean? Like you kind of have to assume, and you could be wrong, but I would assume that that's all coming from Pete's heart, and that Judd was pretty sensitive about that
and
stuff.
And I don't know enough, like other than his dad was a fireman who died in the 9/11 rescue. I don't know anything else about his life. Like I don't know if he actually has a sister. I don't know anything about his mom marrying another firefighter. I don't know if any of that is even true. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But I don't know. That was always kind of in the back of my mind. But I just never fully committed to it. Should say Steve Buscemi's in it also. In a small role, but he's really funny.
He's an actual firefighter, by the way. He was an actual New York firefighter before he was an actor. So
Steve Buscemi was? Oh, I did not know that. Mm-hmm. That's fascinating.
He actually
I can totally see that.
During 9/11, he actually went back to where he served and joined them.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He
went
and helped out.
If you Google pictures of Steve Buscemi 9/11, you'll see him like there wasn't like press down there for
that.
It's just someone kind of like caught a picture of him and it was one of the things that happened in that time.
It wasn't like a big video of a bunch of like celebrities singing.
Oh my
a song.
Goodness, no.
Which actually that really doesn't bother me, but it's just funny. No, that's awesome. I never knew that about Buscemi, so thank you for sharing that. Now I love that guy even more.
Yeah.
And I was gonna say, but one scene though that just had me dying was they say they're in the woods, but it looks like they're just kind of right off the beach. But the scene where Pete Davidson starts to tattoo Bill Burr's kid, Harold. That scene from beginning to end
is
what I had wished the rest of the movie had been.
Because oh, interesting. Yeah.
There's even like that moment at the very end where the kid like screams and run off, and then one of Pete Davidson's friends is like, "Oh man, I had such high hopes for Harold." it's just so funny. But I don't know. Just never really got on board with it. But totally get why people like it. But just thought I'd share that. But you're right about it being long. Chris and I had a conversation about this. How every Judd Apatow film after 40-Year-Old Virgin is like 2 hours and 16 minutes.
Yeah, he doesn't like to edit.
It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. What do you got, Danae?
I'm going to do a real quick app. I'm trying out a new game called Cryptogram, which if you know what a cryptogram is, you'll know what this game is about.
Yes.
It's developed by Paul Lammerstma Dev. It's a very terrible name. I understand that. But I like cryptograms. A cryptogram, essentially, like you have like the word monkey and you have to figure out like maybe the O and the K and the N are missing and they're blank. And then underneath it is a letter that it represents. Anyways, it's really easy once you go click on it. If you don't know what a cryptogram is, I don't know how to help you apparently. But anyway, because I don't want to make it more confusing.
Some letters
but
represent other letters.
Letters. Yes. Thank
Continue.
You. It's a puzzle. But because this is digitized, if you figure out that, you know, the letter P is actually the letter O, it autofills all of the other options for you. Sometimes I like that in games, and sometimes it means that it's almost mindless to play.
Yeah.
But again, I'm kind of in those easier levels right now where I'm not really challenged too much. But what I do like about it, the part that I am enjoying, is that it's using like quotes that are sort of nice and uplifting. Like Maya Angelou has been referenced to. There was one that I actually kind of did a screenshot of. Start by doing what's necessary, then do what's possible, and suddenly you are doing the impossible, from Francis of Assisi. So you're figuring out this cryptogram, you're figuring out this quote, but you don't know what it really is until like the end. And then you kind of read back and like, oh, that's encouraging. Which again, I'm sort of looking for things that are a quick mind escape, just in between scripts or in between meetings or all of the things that we're doing. It's kind of nice to just take like a little 10-minute breather and do something other than play Clash Royale and Clash of Clans. So that's been a fun one for me. It's so far really easy to manage. It hasn't bothered me with a lot of advertisements and things like that. I'm going to keep playing this one for a little while because it's a little word puzzle. So there you go. Again, it's called Cryptogram, but the developer is Paul Lammer, TSMA, dev.
So it's just called Cryptogram. So,
it's just called Cryptogram, they which is why I liked it.
They should have called it something like Schmurf to Nerf, and then just like you have to figure out what the title of the app is.
You know, I just thought of this would be a great Aaron impression. I like to eat my cryptograms milk, and sometimes I put sugar.
Yay! Cereal puns! Woohoo!
Yay!
Well, that's going to do it for Behind the Sins this week. Don't forget to make sure you're subscribed and go ahead and leave a comment or rating as well. You can hang out with us on Twitter. At CinemaSinsBTS is the main show Twitter. I am at Aaron Dicer. She is at Danae Says.
DeneeSays.
And he is at SamLoomis13. So for Jonathan Watkins, Danae Hughes, and myself, we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening. Send any feedback to behindthesinspod@gmail.com and be sure to subscribe or message us at Twitter, and be sure to visit cinemasins.com.
All right, here we go. Wait for
it's
Danae's.
Fun to have these conversations though.
Wait for Danae's energy to okay, get some oxygen.
I'm ready.
Okay.
I think the hyperbaric chamber would have been interesting to experience.
Mm. Yeah. Like those
even though I don't
places.
Really like water or being in enclosed spaces. But for some reason.
Even though I'm an aquaphobe and a claustrophobe. Sounds like an amazing experience.
I've seen Altered States. It just looked kind of fun. So I don't know.
That's just been absolutely fun. I'm actually thinking about doing something crazy where we ask for people who bought the Prometheus School of Running Away from Things shirt, which we didn't actually retire. That one made the cut. Just having them like a quick clip of them maybe like running across in a straight line. So we don't even have to see their like face or anything. And then doing a, what do they call it? Like one of those mass cuts of just a whole bunch of people running in their shirt.
A montage.
Yeah, like a little running montage and making a fun little merch commercial about it. So we just have some fun ideas that might be coming out. So
meanwhile, in the background, giant Jeremy is chasing them and they're all running in a straight line.
Yes.
The only thing I needed to send me to the hydration overload was the kidney stone thing. Apparently, one of the main reasons you get kidney stones is not hydrating well enough. So that was all I needed.
That explains why I've had several.
That's all I needed because I don't ever want one of those.
They're awful. That's all
yeah, you don't need to go into detail. This isn't Adam Sandler's colon. We don't need to know.
I had to take a shit the other day. My whole body.
And it looked like a little human inside the toilet, so it counts.
All right, I'm going to try to just give you an editing point, Danae, because none of that needs to go in.
So this was our Beyond the Sins conversation, right? Like water and shrooms?
No.
Okay.
No, not at all.
I want to know what you're thinking.
Yeah, I'm a 1.4 guy. I love stuff at 1.4. That's my sweet spot right there.
I think 1.25 is... I don't think I can go above that.
I don't know. You get used to it, man.
It stinks with Apple, though. I haven't figured out a way. Through Apple Podcasts, it's 1.5, and that's just a little too much.
Oh, it only goes in those increments?
Yeah, like I have it. There might be a way to customize it, but I haven't been able to figure it out because I'm not smart.
Should I make an email for you, like your Apple tips?
Wait, your Apple tips could be something completely different.
That's his water jug.
That's my
Look
new water
it.
Jug, yeah.
That's like, is that a gallon jug mm-hmm. with a lid?
They've started selling these gallon jugs that actually keep track of your like progress through the day.
Yeah. So, well, it's a water bottle.
Yeah, so it has like 1 p.m., 3, like throughout the day you can tell where you're supposed to be to like be drinking the water you need to drinking. And I love water. Water's been like my favorite thing for many, many years. So room temperature, lukewarm water, man. It's the best.
I like shrooms and Diet Dr. Pepper.
Some people say that when you take mushrooms that you have diarrhea. Some people say that when you're on magic mushrooms and you poop, it's the most incredible experience ever. So
LSD, is that the stuff in like Chinese food that you're supposed to be careful about? We're just going to chat about something else from the world of pop culture that we've seen recently. I guess I'll go first on this one. I have someone's at our front door, apparently. So
I like how you mouthed it.
That was so weird.
I like how you mouthed it. Like you knew it was going to happen. You paused and you mouthed. I had planned on tweeting about the D&D thing when my husband checked out because I was trying to tell him about it and he glazed straight over. And then I was telling another friend about it because it was just such an epic moment. Like I rolled a natural 20 to have it like to come back from life on a death save and we all scream like crazy and it's like this cool, fun, amazing feeling, right? And I'm trying to get across this experience and there's just nothing there. So then I'm like, I know, I'll tell Aaron and Jonathan. So I started on the story and Jonathan, you like
in
the middle of it start talking about something else completely. And so I was like, oh, here it's happening again. So I tweet and then Aaron's like, anyway, Danae, what happened next? I was like, fuck, oops. Oh, well, this is going to be completely unrelated to our conversation, but I just checked Twitter and I'm so excited because our BTS sticker made it all the way to New Zealand finally.
Oh, nice.
So
that's cool.
I know that's completely unrelated, yeah, but I'm really excited.
Nobody at this point thinks that you're focused on the show, Danae. Everybody knows you're doing three or four things while we record.
I can't wait till the comments section, by the way.
Man, I love plain rice checks. Oh
God, you guys are so bold. you're like no flavor.
You're not wrong. No, I like the flavor of the rice.
I feel like Aaron just eats bread sandwiches.
Absolutely.
Like he just puts a piece of bread on another piece of bread.
Yep. You know me. You got
guys,
it.
I just found the best restaurant. It's called The Bakery.
That's right. See, you get me. You guys get me. It's amazing. How should I do this? Well, Danae's got this edit, so have fun, Danae.
Thanks, Aaron.